and advertising branding.
Okay. Who is Qcells?
Qcells is another panel manufacturer like Silfab.
Payment of almost 1.9 million in the 90 days prior to filing.
So theirs is a little bit different. Some of that was not just for panels, but also for payment of past due on the account, or, you know, amount owed.
Okay.
And if I could go back to the Silfab, there was a small portion on those payments that we would also include towards balance. It was not exclusively for panels.
Okay, thank you. United Healthcare, I'm assuming, is company health insurance?
Correct.
CED Green Tech?
That was a distributor of solar equipment. And same thing as the other two, a small portion of the payment was going towards balance, with the rest of it being for new equipment.
McNaughton McKay.
Same thing. Distributor for solar equipment and portion to past due, or, you know, amounts owed, and then the rest of it for new equipment.
Okay. Aurora Solar.
That's our proposal software. And that was towards, balance owed. So software and service.
Guru Cultivation.
Lead gen. So, bring in leads on different social media platforms.
Okay. 5-9.
That's our phone system. And that was for services received.
Studios.
They did our website and, search engine optimization. So more, lead gen and branding.
EAN Services.
I don't know who that is.
EAN.
EAN. We'd have to get back.
We have to look at the additional detail. This is a summarized list with the legal name. We can look at the additional detail. It would probably enlighten us on who they were and what they provided to us.
Thank you. Sinclair Designs.
Sinclair is a more solar equipment. So that's for equipment we received from them.
Is it for new purchases or for past due balances?
Purchases.
Total Quality Logistics.
TQL. The TQL, they were a logistics company that would be able to move equipment and items necessary from one location to another, where we had inventory available to match up to jobs we were installing.
The Sussman Agency.
Same thing with marketing. They're a company that did advertising for us for lead gen and branding. And that's for services received.
Okay. AM Conservation Group.
This is a part of our energy efficiency package equipment. So this is for stuff that we received from them. Some of that could be towards a past due or, account balance. So that one might not be all received equipment.
And what type of stuff would you purchase from them?
Thermostats, stuff for, for the ceiling of the house to make it more efficient.
LED lights.
Yeah.
Attic tents.
Thermal blankets.
Yeah, thermal blankets, things like that.
Barbara, CFO.
That's for Pia. That was for, we are an interim CFO for hire that worked for us on a contractor basis.
Cedric Claims Management.
They claims adjusters.
Joseph Newgarden Racing.
An advertising relationship we had, endorsement partnership. They also do advertising for us for services received.
I'll stop there, I think. We could keep going forever.
And we can follow up with any additions needed.
One of the questioners earlier today talked about settlements the company made within 90 days of the bankruptcy filing. Approximately how many settlements did the company enter into?
A handful that would rise to a level where either myself or someone would look at it or sign it. So it would be less than one hand in the last 90 days that I recall.
Okay.
There were levels of authority within customer service for smaller amounts.
Okay. On the exhibit, SOFA 6, set-offs by GoodLeap within 90 days. Explain to me what I am looking at there.
So the way that the funding would work between the financing partners is when a system would be sold, there'd be an M1 payment after the rescission period, 3 days or so, and that payment would be advanced if the system was not installed within a period of time, say 90 days or 120 days, whatever the agreement at the time was. Those amounts would be essentially clawed back to the financing company, and the vehicle for that would be withheld from other funding events for systems that would be installed or other M1 payments.
Okay, so for instance, in the first one, the Russell Bingham account. Tell me what the total loan amount. I can see the total loan amount is $77,430. Are you on the same page I am?
Yes, I see it.
Okay. Tell me what the $6,064.59 represents.
That would be an amount that would be clawed back out of an amount paid.
Okay.
Maybe I can help out a little bit too. So what he's saying is if I sign Mr. Murphy up today, within a week after the right of rescission, they'll give that M1 payment, could be 25%, could be 35%, 50%. Each loan company is different. We get that. There's a timeline, 60 days, 90 days, or 120 days, depending on the finance company, of when we have to finish install. And then when it's finished installed, customers contacted, and then we get paid the rest. If we don't install it by that time, lots of delays, permitting, design, HOAs, things fall into play, or cancellations that could have happened where they contacted the finance company and not us. So we were blinded by it, thinking, moving this job along, yet it canceled. They take it out of our new funding. So if I sold Mr. Murphy and we're on day 75, they're going to claw that back. But if I am installing Anna, they're going to pay me less minus that is what I'm going to get net funded because they're taking that back.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So they're not removing the funds from the same contract. They're removing them from a different contract and applying them to other contracts.
They don't put it on there. They put it as a one line item. So they fund us on these and then here's your clawbacks and they take it back out.
Okay.
It'd be a single funding event of total M1 payments to be made for deals just sold plus total amounts paid for installations. And then less any clawbacks that would occur, that net number would be, here's your funding for today.
Okay. And the same thing with sunlight, is that the similar situation?
Yes. And with the sunlight, we weren't able to get the latest details. So there's probably a piece missing between. We captured this data towards the end of September. So there could be a gap in the data between September, the end of September and the filing date, which we attempted to get records from them and they were not forthcoming with that information.
And just so I'm clear, this is a set off. They owe you some money on some contracts. They're reducing that by money that you owe them back on other contracts.
Yes, based on the timing Mr. Wilder described, where if we weren't able to install a customer after that time period would expire and they had previously advanced the company a portion of the amount of that contract and it was an M1 payment, they would take that back, that amount of that M1 payment for this contract out of our net funding that might relate to, you know, a dozen other contracts.
But then if I decide to install Steve Murphy on day 90, I can get 100% of the fund because they took back their percentage.
Yeah, to be clear, just to be clear, if they clawed back that M1 payment when the installation is complete, then they pay 100% of what they owe us, which is whatever the contract amount is less their fees.
Okay.
If they haven't clawed it back, then it's only the balance that they owe.
Well, we're obviously not going to be finishing any installs, so I don't guess there'll be any more payments coming. On the exhibit labeled SOFA number 9, gifts and charitable contributions, there are many entries that have either Mr. Waller's or Mr. Klink's name associated with them. Is the company gifting Mr. Waller and Mr. Klink money, or is this for some other reason?
It'd be for some other reason.
Yeah. Do we know what this money was for?
We could get back and pull the details. I mean, I would assume, I think we saw that on the schedule, the dates, which probably need to get more clarification on it. But if we were at an event, we were at a Mark Wahlberg Children's Hospital event and we sponsored it, we may buy certain things there or sponsor extra holes or sponsor extra kids. And that's where that would be given, not to us personally.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see, because the way it looks as if the company is giving money to you, Mr. Waller and Mr. Klink. So we would want to see those numbers.
Absolutely.
This was just the kind of the way it exported out of our ERP system.
Yeah.
And it was decided to expend resources in other places to gather detail necessary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's not an expense. So it was paid to somebody else. It's just labeled in the notes that we were there doing it.
Who is Joseph Newgarden?
He is a IndyCar driver. He was a brand ambassador for us. And he also did some advertising on his YouTube channel for us.
I've received notification that there is $1.5 million on deposit with U.S. Bank and some kind of trust for Hartford. Can you tell me what's that for?
I have no idea.
Hartford, like insurance?
I'm assuming.
Yes, that is an amount that had to be set aside because we're partially self-insured with a $250,000 deductible. So that was when we had to set that up, it was set up as a trust. Hartford is the primary general liability insurance policy holder.
Okay. Mr. Klink, we heard the allegations earlier that you were under an FTC order not to be affiliated with any company with a call center. Is that true?
I am under FTC order, but not that I can't be associated with a company with a call center. It's most specific in that order is about calling people on the do not call list without express written consent. And I'll definitely get you all that.
Okay.
You know, all the documents on that.
Okay. And we heard mentioned of the company GoFlooring.com.
GoFlooring.com sounds like a website. Mm-hmm. But I don't own GoFlooring. Okay. I know my brother-in-law and my father and them opened a company, GoFlooring.
Okay.
But I don't own the company.
Is anybody else in here involved in that company?
I am.
Okay. And what is that company?
It's a flooring company. It's a flooring sales and installation company. Handful of us are trying to get going.
Okay. And who are the other people other than you, Mr. Wolf?
Kenny Klinger and Joe Caban.
Okay. It's a local one, right? Just like Kannapolis area?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Was the testimony that the last tax distributions were May 2021 or May 2022?
2021.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's right because, you know, we don't get it go straight to the government, but I believe that was
the last one.
So I'm going to see if any other attorneys in the room have any other questions at this time.
I have just maybe two.
Okay. Tell me your name again.
Brian Barrett.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's a reference. Did the company have in-house attorneys?
No, we had a contract attorney for a period of time, the CLO.
We have had
employees that are attorneys, okay, but they are functioning not as attorneys, they're functioning as one was a compliance officer, and then Brian also has an attorney's license as well, but he was really dealing with finance.
There was an insurance policy purchased for in-house attorneys. Who was that purchased for?
Well, I have to get back to you on that. I don't know.
We'd have to get back the information on that. He said there was an insurance policy purchased for in-house attorneys. It may have been through Darrow. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Do you think that was for Mr. Darrow?
I said it may have been through or conjecture. We have to get back to you with the detail on that. We don't know.
And Mr. Waller, in addition to your brother-in-law and your father, your mother, your wife, and your daughter also worked for the company?
That is correct. My mother came in about a month before we closed. My wife came in about 3 months before we closed. Same time with my daughter. We were in desperate need of people answering the phones. They had five and a half hour wait times. And obviously in today's market, it's hard to find good quality people. So I begged and pleaded that they come in and do the calls. I brought my wife in to manage a lot of the customer service issues and reach out to a lot of the upset customers directly and try to use white glove service to fix and rectify what she could.
And did your daughter work in excess of 40 hours in a work week in each work week in which she was employed?
Yes.
Did your wife work in excess of 40 hours in a work week for each work week that she was employed?
Yes.
And your mother, did she work in excess of 40 hours for each work week in which she was employed?
Yes. And all of them reported to the other executives just for conflict reasons, if that helps.
I have additional questions, but we'll hold them in light of time.
Any other attorneys in the room have questions? Yes, Ms. Abel.
Yeah, we own ISI Properties, LLC.
Relationship between Power Homes?
No.
Wasn't a landlord or a transferor or anything like that?
Well, Power Home was a tenant in ISI Properties building, if that's what you're asking.
Yes.
Okay.
So that would be the relationship.
That's the relationship, yeah.
Okay.
But not there's no ownership shared.
Okay. And is that the building in Mooresville?
Yes.
Okay. Does that entity own any other property?
I believe it owns one residential property.
Okay.
It may not be that LLC, though.
Is it a property that any of you reside in?
No.
Okay. And what about ISI Properties 2 LLC?
That's another one that owns just one single residential property.
Okay. Otherwise, no affiliation other than the landlord-tenant relationship?
There was a landlord-tenant relationship as corporate housing, but that ceased.
Okay. At what time did that cease?
I want to say
August of last year, maybe.
Yeah, it could have been a little more recent than August, but definitely not in the past 6 months.
Who resided there when it was used as corporate housing?
I did. My employment agreement allowed me to come back and stay at the house when I lived in Michigan. When I moved back here permanently, we took that off the agreement.
Okay. And is anyone living in that property today?
Yes.
Yes.
But not anybody affiliated with the company?
No.
Okay. That's all my questions.
Okay.
I got two. My name is Melanie Raubach. I'm working with the trustee. Just two questions for you. The first is, we've discussed several sums that you individually put into the company. Were any of those loans documented by promissory notes?
Yes.
Yes.
Were they secured by security agreements of any sort?
Just the paper is written on.
We went through a long list of accounts payables that were issued in the 90 days prior to filing. Can you tell me, was there any change in conduct or procedure as to how you handled accounts payable in advance of the bankruptcy?
Yeah. I mean, I can take that, or either of you guys can. We were paying what we could to stay open. So as we needed material and we were trying to gain momentum and get sales back and get installations up, we would put certain people on hold that didn't affect us doing business tomorrow and then, pay them as we got it. That's why Kevin mentioned earlier with Silfab and with some of those others, we'll buy product from you, but we can only pay a little bit of what's past due because we're trying to get back to being profitable.
Sure. And at about what point in time did that payment process, approach occur?
Well, it started really slow with just certain payment vendors as we were waiting on time for Generac to pay us. We thought they were assumed they were going to pay us. That really accelerated in late August, early September.
Of this year?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
All right. Obviously, we are still gathering records and documents and information. So we are going to continue this meeting to December 13th at 10 a.m. I would appreciate it if the four of you could come back on that date and that time. And we will stand recessed until then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.